Hello, everyone. I'm Jordan Reddick, your host for today's Hawk Talk, a student podcast on the QU Media Podcast Network. We are in Studio Q at North Campus, and today I got the QU Swim head coach, Coach Brian Christensen, right? How you doing today, sir?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I can't complain. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. Yeah. So just give us a little backstory, a little upbringing, you know, about how you got into swimming and things like that.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me here. I'm happy to get into everything about my life. Well, you know, it runs in the family. You know, my dad swam. My dad swam because my uncle, his twin brother, swam. And my uncle swam because he was really good at side stroke. And then he started swimming and found out that side stroke is not a competitive stroke. But he stuck with it.
Yeah.
And, then I swam, then my brother swam. So it's a big family thing. Yeah, we're from Rochester, New York, originally, and you got in at a young age. You know, I know you guys are the football staff. I couldn't catch a ball, I couldn't throw a ball, but you know, water made sense to me, and that was like where I could be athletic, and I kind of stuck with it ever since.
So I heard you speak about like the side stroke. Can you go into a little bit of detail about, like, the different events, right, and how they score events? Because I'm new to swimming.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of y'all meets, but, like, I just know from the unknowledge point of view of you swim one side, you swim to the other side.
You know, at its core, it's pretty simple. First one to the wall wins. It's a race. But, yeah, points. So, to start with events first, right, there's four major strokes, freestyle, might know as like front crawl, backstroke, which is on your back, you know, the breaststroke, which is like a, you know, frog kick kind of thing, and then the butterfly, which you might know from like Michael Phelps or something, a great butterflyer. You can do all four strokes together. That's called a medley, individual medley. And fly back breast free is the order for that.
Is that similar to like the 4x1 in track, to where you swim down and then when you come back somebody else will go? Or is it just you going by yourself?
So we have both. There's a relay that is like that, or there's an individual medley, which is you doing all four different strokes yourself, which is understandably one of the more challenging events because you need to be good at all four. The 400 individual medley, otherwise known as the 400 IM, is known as one of the harder strokes because you know, it's about a 4 to 5-ish minute long race where you're going fast as you can. Well, it's also highly technical, and it's also, so you need a lot of endurance, you need a lot of, you know, you need to be mechanically sound with all that stuff, so it's a very complex race. But so we have hundreds and 200s of each stroke. Freestyle will go up to 1650, which we kind of colloquially call the mile, even though I'm speaking yards.
Yeah.
Even though mile is 1760 yards. We're close enough. 1650 is what we call the mile. That's what we call like the longer distance stuff. We'll have relays. There's five different relays, three freestyle and two medley, where we're doing different strokes. So there's a lot. There's like 16 total events. Scoring at a dual meet, first place is 9 points. So first is pretty critical, and then it goes 4 points for second, and 4, 3, 2, 1, 0 for sixth. Relays are scored 11-4-2, so relays are a big deal for sure. But yeah, and so, you know, whoever has the most points at the end of the meet wins. Getting first helps, but you can make it up if you get like a 2, 3, 4, which, you know, this past season, I might jump ahead a little bit, talk about our team. We had a lot of firsts. We swam Truman, and we won, I think, 9 out of 13 events that meet. Lost the meet just because, you know, we're a first-year program that needs a little bit more more depth to kind of get those seconds, thirds, fourths, because, you know, those add up too.
Okay. So before we get to talking about, you know, this year's team, where were you coaching before here?
Yeah, so before here I was a head coach of a school called Frostburg State University, which is a school in Western Maryland. I don't know, I keep getting really unique coaching opportunities. We were a D3 school that transitioned to D2 while I was there. So I don't know why I get the D2 transitions and starting a new program, all the fun stuff. But before that, I was assistant coach at John Carroll University, which is in Cleveland, which is D3. I was a D3 athlete, D3 coach for a while, and then obviously kind of got into the D2 world through Frostburg, which is a lot of fun. So, I mean, this is year 15 of me coaching. I think I did club for like 7 years and then made the jump to college. And so I was a college assistant kind of around New York, State University of New York at New Paltz, which is kind of outside New York City. And then I went to John Carroll. We did very well, John Carroll, a couple All-Americans at the D3 National Championships there. Became head coach at Frostburg State, and then came here to Quincy.
So this is your second stint as a head coach?
Yeah.
So how did it feel, right, growing up, being into swimming, being a swimmer yourself, and then you finally get the call that, hey, we want you to be the head coach? How did that feel at that moment?
I mean that was pretty – I mean, it was pretty awesome. It's something I'd worked for a while. I was hired very late at Frostburg. I had already been like a week into the season at John Carroll. And the head coach knew that I was kind of looking for, head jobs. And I probably wouldn't have left for another assistant job, but, you know, I got the Frostburg opened up a little bit later. And it was funny. I still remember we had like this barbecue. I was talking to the dive coach, and, like, he knew I was looking. He's like, hey, you know, how's the job search going? I'm like, yeah, I just blew this phone interview at Frostburg, you know, whatever. I thought I totally, like, biffed it. And then the athletic director called me. He's like, hey, you want to come on campus? And I was like, oh, all right. And it was just – that was a really good fit. I left Frostburg because my wife, she got a job here in Illinois. And so she had been in Illinois, and I had been in Maryland for about 3 years. Just tough, not the most ideal situation. And so we were really looking for a lot of, a lot of jobs in Illinois. I think the opportunity at Quincy to start a new program was very exciting to me. Quincy is also similar to my alma mater. I mean, I went to a school called Hiram College in, like, rural Ohio, much smaller town than here, but it was like 900 students. That small private liberal arts education, which I just really believe in. And so I really saw what I was, like, the experience I had at Quincy, and I really want to give that back and really believe in that. So, and also I get to actually live in the same town as my wife, which is cool.
Yeah.
It's a major goal. So, everything just kind of lined up, and it feels easy to say now, but it took like 15 years to of working to kind of get there. So, we're very happy.
I mean, that's amazing, man. I mean, it's an amazing journey, and I'm sure a lot of coaches out here and a lot of recruits and players will love to hear this and love to hear your upbringing and how you got to where you are now. So let's talk about the now, right? You're here at Quincy University. You're starting the swimming team. Is it more difficult to be a head coach of a program who is already established and already have upperclassmen, credibility? Or is it way harder to kind of start a program?
That's a tough question because I think that the key is the people that you have. If you're a real established program, our conference is full. Let's take, Indy. Indy's a great example. They just had their head coach leave and their assistant took over. And then their assistant won NCAAs on the men's side. Like, that'd be nice to take over, I think. You know, you still got to show your credentials, but I think when you got people that have kind of gone through the motions and who know what's going on, I think that can be really helpful. Frostburg was difficult partly because of our D2 transition, because we had a lot of – I mean, Frostburg was really good when I got there. They had a guy go to Nationals the year before I got there. But, we were a small team. I think we had – I'm not going to knock D3 because I was a D3 swimmer. But we had a mentality that we definitely didn't care as much. And I think this isn't everybody for sure. Like, we had some people, like, we had a guy my last year there who got swimming the meet, who had been like a recruited D3 athlete who got like swimmer of the meet at a D2 championship, which was sweet. So, I'm not knocking everybody, but we had some people that weren't really kind of as dedicated as they wanted to be. And it was tough when we brought in a lot of D2 athletes that, suddenly had like way better freshmen with less dedicated seniors, and there was a lot of tension and conflict there. So that was really hard. I think what I always think about, with Quincy, you know, taking over a program that doesn't have a great culture in place, I think it's a lot of work to, like your ship is moving in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
You got to, like, turn that ship. Hopefully, Quincy, we're pushing it out of the port in the right direction, which takes effort, but I almost like it better than correcting bad culture.
Okay.
You know, yeah. If we can kind of, like, set that culture from the get-go. It is hard because it's a lot more work, I think, because our kids, you know, they're freshmen. They just don't know, and they have nothing to think about. So I think as a coaching perspective, we have to guide them a little bit more about what's expected. It'll be nice when we get to the point, even next year, like I think our kids kind of get it. I think even next year they will be able to guide like the new freshmen coming in, and you know, they're just going to get better every year. I think we're in a really good spot with our kids. I think we have good people. They make 18-year-old mistakes because everybody does.
Of course.
And, you know, it's going to happen. So it'll take some time. I think our big thing here is just patience. And, you know, we're kind of ready to be good.
Yeah, and I think we're kind of in that same boat. I mean, from a coaching standpoint of us starting the sprint football program, you starting the swimming program, and kind of, you know, both of us starting similar around the same time. Yeah. And you spoke about, like, 18-year-olds and the things that you have to overcome, the maturity, the growing process, which, like you said, they don't have an upperclassman to look up to. But now they're going to year two. We feel like, and, you know, me and you had conversations in the weight room about how, like you said, right, everything is moving in the right direction. Yeah. So let's take it back a little bit to talk about how you think the season went this year. Sure. Right, first season, you spoke about it a little bit, but I want you to go into a little bit more detail just to give the people just a little behind-the-scenes insight of your day-to-day from start to finish.
Yeah. We do doubles a couple days a week, so it's a couple of early mornings. I try not to do early mornings every day. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the swimmer stereotype, right, is up at 5 a.m. and in the pool, which, I don't know, swimming is a tough sport. I think it can be a grind, and I really like us to make sure we are still having fun. I think we need to get up early a couple days a week, but you know, if we can sleep in a couple, we're okay. But we're working hard. You know, we're in the weight room. We talk about the weight room 3 days a week, and trying to move a lot of weight in there. But I would say a season, probably about as good as a first year program season could be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've told our kids, I kind of hate that qualifier. I hear this compliment a lot, which is like, pretty good for your first year. And I'm like, it's kind of like a backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
You know, like, but I won't disagree with it. I think the excuse is going to evaporate pretty soon. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what Braden said, speaking of weight room. He's like, you don't have all the time in the world to use that rookie excuse.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you got to kind of get it together. The fact that we beat anybody, to be honest, is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, we finished 8th out of 10 teams at the conference meet on the men's side, beating Truman and Maryville, which is, you know, well-established programs. And
we were
not really expecting that, so that was kind of a fun thing. We got some guys getting NCAA B cuts, which, you know, A cut goes automatically, B cut is under consideration. We ended up not getting anybody, you know, called up to go, but the fact that we got anybody
just nominated.
Is a great accomplishment for year one. And, you know, I think our kids are hungry. They want to keep doing more. So McKendree started their program. Mm-hmm. I think they're on year 7. Men got 3rd at NCAAs this year. Women got 11th, I think. We outscored them than the points they did in their first year. Not saying that we're going to be, you know, automatically contending for a national title, but it's a good feeling to kind of benchmark ourselves against other programs starting out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, by those metrics, by like the objective points and times metrics, I think you can say we had a really good year. We need some numbers for sure. Like I said, in the point system, you know, especially on the women's side, you know, we only had 6 women and, you know, we couldn't contest every event. So we just lost meets because of that. You know, when we were putting up nobody and they're getting 9-4-3, you know, they're putting up 16 unanswered points. I mean, imagine a football game where you start with them scoring two free touchdowns. You know, it makes it hard to win.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, or like, you know, they're starting 11 guys and, you know, we're starting four or something. Like, yeah, it's just not going to happen. So we'll naturally correct that. You know, we've got seven signees already. So suddenly we're up to like, 12 or 13 women, and hopefully get a couple more. And again, that's year two, and we'll keep building. So all in all, very good year. I am probably too much of a, I guess I'm always like self-critical, and I don't really, I should be grateful for where we are, but the reason, but I'm also not, which also I think helps me drive to keep being better. I don't know. I don't know if there's ever a season I could kick back and relax. I don't know if I could win a national championship and kick back and relax.
I mean,
but that's
that's a great thing, especially with you being a head coach. I mean, right? You basically telling everybody you're okay with how the season went,
yeah,
but you're not content with it, right? You want more, and like you said it perfectly. Like, even if you was to win a national championship, you still got that drive and that fire to come back the next year and be like, we can do it again.
Exactly, and I think we're definitely not allowed to be, like, angry or, like, sad about how the season went.
Yeah.
But I know we can be better, and that's going to happen naturally as we, you know, continue our existence.
Yeah. So I just got a couple more questions for you. Just deal with the first one, since we're already talking about the program. What is your selling point, right, for a now second-year program? What do you want to let the recruits out there know that possibly could hear this, right? What do you want them to know about you, the program, the direction that you're going in? Like, just give them some insight as well onto why they should come join QU Swimming.
Well, I mean, I think immediately we're a lot of fun. I would say behind the scenes, we are very technical. We measure everything. We measure push-off speed and closing speed and, you know, test sets, and we make performance scores, and we really try to figure out on an individual basis kind of how people are doing and what we need to do to improve. You know, we don't do a bunch of random yards and hope we get better. Like, we are very, very focused in, like, you know, this. And it's always a little bit of a guessing game, right? We try to use the best evidence, right? We try to do the best we can in practice. If you're, you know, not eating right or staying up all night, like, it doesn't matter what kind of we're doing practice, you're not going to improve.
Right.
But, we try to have a lot of metrics, I would say, behind the scenes, highly technical. But to the team, I think we're very, like, jovial, very fun. You know, we try to that's kind of the art of it, right, merging that science and art, like, to have the really science-based program, but find creative ways to have the kids do that stuff. Because, again, swimming is just tough, and I think doing a lot of yards without a lot of thought is, like, really, really demoralizing. So trying to find ways to keep things fun, keep things light, but also serious. And I think finding that balance is the big thing. Being no program, I think it's our cool advantage is that, you know, we're not someone who's been doing this the same way for 10 years and finds no reason to innovate. Like, mm-hmm. We have no, you know, structure. I think culturally, we're in a situation where the best idea can still win.
Yeah.
And, you know, however way you get faster is what will win. So nothing's off the table. And I think we can keep innovating versus someone who's maybe been doing it forever and just says there's one way and, you know, never really thinks outside the box. So that's really fun. Then our last bit, we just have an edge. You know, we're underdogs. We're scrappy, you know. I think, you know, we got something to prove, and our kids definitely have a chip on their shoulder, and I think that makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah, it definitely will.
You know, nothing's handed to us. You know, you're here to work, and you're here to prove yourself, and it's like we said to our kids every meet. It's like, hey, let's tell them that we mean business. Let's tell them that we're not going to be run over. I guarantee that some teams scheduled us thinking, you know, we'll notch this win, you know, new program, whatever, and we're not really there for that. So I think it's a lot of fun having that mentality. Certainly people that would rather go and just kind of be part of the machine in a big established program, if that's what you're looking for, we're probably not the program for you, and that's fine. We're looking for people with some edge, and I think it's a lot of fun.
All right, all right. I mean, y'all hear that out there, right? he don't want nobody. Don't come in here thinking that, you know, you about to get all the glitz and glamours and things like that, man, because we're working towards that. We're working towards the glitz and the glamours, right? It's going to be ups. It's going to be downs. So that kind of brings me to my next question, which is kind of a personal question from me, because I just like to – I'm curious to know, right? I'm learning more about swimming. So from a coaching standpoint, what would you say your coaching philosophy is for swimming? Because, I mean, you said it a number of times of swimming is tough, it's difficult, right? You just because you can swim in the public pool don't mean you can just go join a swim team and be like, oh, yeah, I'm All-American now. So, like, what is your coaching philosophy when it comes to swimming?
Yeah, I mean, I really do think it's finding a way to have fun. I came from a very traditional program that did like 12,000 yards a day, and you know, we had a lot of people quit because it's not fun. I try to talk to every kid every day. I try to let them know that they are more than their times. I think it's very easy to get caught up in that, especially with the individual nature of our sport and the fact that, you know, all of your work really boils down to like a handful of numbers, which I think isn't really what swimming is about. You know, it really is a team sport. And once we start buying into that, it's amazing what success we can have when we care about other people's performance more than our own. And I think that's hard, because I think the default for a lot of clubs, especially internationals, is that, hey, I'm just, you know, I'm doing my thing. I'm going to go to my meet and I'm going to do my race and that's it. And it's in the NCAA. One reason why I love coaching the NCAA, I mean, it was the most fun I had as an athlete. Also the most fun I had as a coach. Just kind of being part of the team, mm-hmm. is something I want the most. That's probably the biggest thing. And I think that's probably a default for a lot of, you know, football or soccer, basketball out there, but it's not really swimming's default. And I think it's something special in the NCAA. And as soon as you buy into that, then you really start cranking out sometimes. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I love it, man. I really love it. So right before we close it, can you tell everybody where they can find you, how they can get recruited, the Twitter handle, or any other social media platforms they can find you on?
Yeah, I'm going to have to look that up. I'm pretty sure we're just QU Hawk Swim. At QU Hawk Swim, just one, you know, no spaces, whatever. That's our Twitter. And I think our Instagram, you're pretty active. I think we have an infamous Instagram. QU Hawk Swim, that's two S's in there, HAWKS, then SWIM. We post on our Instagram every day. I mean, DMing through there is fine. I'm comfortable with people knowing my cell phone or email. I mean, you can look at our website, QUHawks.com. You can click on our coaches, send me an email, or send me a message is perfectly fine. That's probably the best way to get in touch with me. And, you know, I'm happy to talk to anybody. We won't really make cuts for people. I mean, I think swimming is a sport that everybody can do, and I'm really proud of that. If you don't have the time, you're probably not going to get a scholarship at D3, but we'll take or D2, but we'll take walk-ons, and we've had some great successful walk-ons, and happy to talk to anybody who wants to be a part of us.
All right. Again, Coach, thank you for coming out today to talk and give insight about our program, and more insight just about you. I mean, I learned a lot. I mean, seriously, I really did, because we was talking on the way over here about how swimming is even scored.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'm going to ask, because, well, shoot, I really wanted to know. So, I mean, I'm hoping for an amazing season next year for you guys. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Hawk Talk. I'm your host, Jordan Reddick, and this is a great production at the QU Media Podcast Network.
Thank you for having me.
No problem.